So whenever we begin a sugya that's really a bracha sugya, we have to announce that, because this is a really a bracha sugya, not just a sugya that appears on the side of brachas. So the sugya is a very, very relevant. Halach l'maisa sugya revolves around the bracha of Orban and Mizonos, and some of the, really one of the unique aspects of Orban and Mizonos, particularly how it impacts in some of the otherwise rules of Ikav HaTofel and of the bracha. So let's take a look at the Gemara first inside and try to see how the sugya is going to develop for us. On Daf Lamed Vav on the days. The Gemara picks up from Chavetz Kedera in the middle-sized lines. This is about the second so line at the bottom of the middle-sized line. We want Chavetz Kedera. Chavetz Kedera became Daisa. So these kinds of foods are, for our purposes, definitely have some kind of a flour in them. So they have some of the what we call the chamashas, meaning dogon, five different types of flours. Wheat, barley, we usually translate oat, rice, and spelt. We'll talk about that as we go on a little bit about whether those are or not. But the basic chamashas bina dagan, but they have other things mixed in as well. Rashi already alludes to the fact there's some honey mixed into these dishes, other things that are mixed into these dishes. And I want to know what brach do I make in this whole concoction. Well, Gemara says that chavetz kedei b'chein daisa, ruda m'shahak on yibibaro, v'kana rabbarim your name is Onus. So the chavetz kedei b'chein daisa, what the correct brach is. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Everyone would agree that if it's just daisa alone, if it's just a ground up a grain and some kind of a, almost like a cereal, like a farina kind of a thing, where it's basically grain, so then everyone would agree that the bracha is bavim mizonos. What they were arguing was this type of grain, which was mixed in with other things as well. There's honey in and other kind of stuff that's mixed in. So now the question becomes, what's the ikar and what's the tafel? So there's a mishnah later on that says, whenever you have two foods that are mixed together, so you always make the bracha, the ikar, and the main primary food, and that bracha pater is what the tafel is. So now the amorim having seem to be a very, very, almost like a nitty-gritty machlokes, what's the ikar, what's the tafel of this food? So I wish I knew exactly what this food was. I'm just using my guesswork. Rashi's, you know, walking us through it, that has a little bit of flour and a little bit of honey in it. So we're trying to ascertain what the ikar is. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shachol is Shachol. Rav Yehuda thought that you make Shachol. So for Dusha Ikar, he thought that the main component of the food is the honey. Now, what makes the honey the Ikar? I can think of different factors. Either maybe the honey is the majority of the food, or maybe the honey is the tastiest part of the food. Maybe the honey is the reason why the person's eating the food, possibly. So I think there are multiple reasons why the bracha should be Shachol, emphasizing, highlighting the honey. Rav Kahana says no. Rav Kahana says that the bracha is Amar Barmin Emizonos, Sava Smida Ikar. Rav Kahana was of the opinion Smida. Smida is the Aramaic word for flour. It means the flour is always the Ikar, and therefore the bracha is Barmin Emizonos. So Amar Rav Yosef, Kavasev Rav Kahana Mistabin. So Rav Yosef said that Rav Kahana seems to be more correct, because he is supported by the early Amarim, the Rav Shmuel, Gemma Chivayo, Kol Shiesh Baba Chamesh Tamidim, the Barchel of Barmin Emizonos. The Rav Shmuel said that any dish that has any of the five species of flour, the wheat, barley, etc. in it, so the bracha is automatically barman and mizonos, basically telling me that there's some kind of a new principle playing out in terms of ikav hatofel. Now, regular rules of ikav hatofel, we're not even sure how to determine whether something is regular ikav hatofel. Leave out mizonos for a second. If you have some concoction of shakal and ha'etz and adam or something, how do you know what's ikav, what's tofel? So you have to learn to those things also at some point, hopefully later on in the parak. But there I can understand. If you follow quantity or follow perhaps what the person's taste is, what his intent is, I can understand different factors that can go into deciding whether something is ikar or tofel. It's not necessarily volume. Sometimes it's a factor, sometimes not. You know, the Balad Musa speak a lot about this. The Mishnah speak about a person has to make the Torah the ikar and the malacha the tofel. So how do you know ikar tofel? So most of us work for more hours than we are in the Beis Medrash. You know, the Rambam writes in Luchas Tava Torah, when you read this Rambam, you start to like, what did the Rambam just say? The Rambam describes the life of Bala Bas. That's something I got to learn in code. The Rambam writes, what's a Bala Malacha? The Rambam writes, an average Bala Malacha, the Rambam writes, he works for 3 hours, and he learns for 9 hours, and then the Rambam describes, how does he break up his 9 hours of learning? That's the Bala Malacha, the Rambam describes. And then the Chayyadim writes, oh, that can't be anymore. The Rambam lived in a generation, you're able to make a parnasa 3 hours. Chayyadim says, nobody today, no Bala Bas can learn for 9 hours. A good Bala Bas learned for 5 hours today. 5 hours. If I had 5 hours to learn, I don't know whether you call me a balabas or a rebbe or rada. If I had 5 hours to learn, I'd be a different person. Look out for it. Look out for it. Look out for a different person. So whatever it is, it's kind of embarrassing a little bit. Whatever it is. So the Balei Musa say that when the Mishnah speaks about ikar and tofel, doesn't only mean in terms of dollars and cents. You can have a food that It's a very small amount of the food, but that's what I really want. This is the tastiest part of the food. This is the gishmak. This is where I get my chiyas from, this small portion of the food. So that's the ikur of the bracha. So the same is true for Torah. First, we're working in the office from 8 in the morning till 7 at night, working many, many hours. But when he comes home, he comes to the Shia. Ah, this is the life. He learns his afyomi. This is it. He wakes up 5 in the morning to learn for an hour before dawn. This is his whole life, his whole day revolves around the Torah. So that's tachan ikur. Everything else is the tafel. But out of the Musa back to the world, the Musa is bracha. So the bottom line is, the Gemara says that there are regular rules of ikur tafel. And now comes Rav Yosef and Rav Kahana and Rav Shmuel and say that mezonos trumps everything. Kol sheyesh b'mechamesh zaminin v'rachum b'mezonos. It doesn't matter whether the other things are perhaps objectively more important. Subjectively, it doesn't. Kol sheyesh b'mechamesh zaminin. That's it. End of discussion. The bracha will always be a bar min mezonos. I just want to change one word that I said always, but at least for now, we're going to leave it at the word always. That word always is going to change very quickly. So let's stop and ask ourselves conceptually, why should this be so? Why should there be such a halacha like this? Now we know that Hilchos Brachos are dinim derabbanan, that's true. For the most part, Hilchos Brachos are dinim derabbanan, but we've said this time and time again, and you learn Ketz and Mevarchim, so don't fool yourself into thinking you're just learning Sugyos derabbanan. You have to figure out what certain dinim derayos are, and when you understand Hilchos Arla, we've seen this many, many times already, when you understand Hilchos Arla, then you can understand the Bracha Bar Praetz. When you understand Hilchos Chala, then you'll understand the Bracha Vamoitz Alech Menorahs. So many of the rules of Hilchos Brachas are following some Deraisa Dika Klon, Deraisa Dika principles. And there must be some Deraisa Dika principle at play here. That there is something very special, something very unique about the Bracha Mezonos. Something very special about Chameshas Bnei David, about the wheat, barley, the oats, the rye. What is so special? What is so unique about it? So the tour in Archaev Hilchos Brachas offers multiple reasons why this should be so. Says the Torah, the significance of Chameshas Minei Dagon is not only true on a Derabbanitika level, it's very much true on a Deraisidika level. There are certain halachas that govern Chameshas Minei Dagon that don't apply to other types of foods, other kinds of species, even other kinds of grains. There are certain mitzvahs deraisa, there are certain isurim deraisa that only apply to this unit. This is a unit in a Torah. The concept of chameshes bnei dagon is not something that the rabbanon one fine day in the second brachos made up. This is deraisa as old as the hills. This goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a deraisa concept called chameshes bnei dagon, and there are certain mitzvahs and certain averus that are limited to this chameshes bnei dagon. Well, what are some examples? What are some dinim deraisa that come to mind? Something unique about chameshes bnei dagon?
It's chametz.
Chametz, matzah. Yes, people are ready. The wives are already getting stuff to clean already. My wife told me she wanted to know when. What am I doing tonight to the Pesach project? I said I'm giving you a shiur chametz bnei dagon tonight. That's my contribution. keep me going for the next month or so.
Karban mincha
is a tricky one because karban mincha you can bring only from chitna saorin, so it's not even the complete chametz bnei dagon. Maybe. The answer to that question may depend on something we're going to talk about in 5 minutes. What is something more? Birchamazon din deraisa. Isn't birchamazon only applied to bread? Chamesh bnei dagon. We'll give you a definite maybe on that one. What's that? Anyone? One or two others. There's a freshes chala, and there's another one, chadash. Those are the dinim that are listed off the Mishnah. Mishnah Menachos rattles off all these together. That all of these halachas, their eyes are only applied to Chamesh Bnei Dagon. Where did all this come from? What's this model? Again, if we're looking to try to highlight the significance of the five species of grains, the wheat, the barley, the oats, etc. So where did any of this come from? So all of these halachas actually begin Mapshinet Diyayim. It all starts with Hilchos Chametz. How does it start with this Chametz? The Torah says, L'soichel Chametz. Don't eat Chametz. What does Chametz mean? How do you know whether something's Chametz or not? What does the word Chametz mean? So chametz is, in a sense, a scientific statement. It is a certain natural phenomena. There are certain grains that were mixed together with water, reach this scientific statement, the scientific status called chimutz. There are other grains that mix with water that don't reach this physical properties of chimutz. What the Gemara calls actually sirchon. You take other kinds of grains and you mix it together with water, other things may happen. They may begin to get bigger, they may clump together, other things may happen, but the process of chimutz doesn't begin. This scientific natural process that Rebbeinu Shem created into the Teva is only true about these five species of grains. Anyone know a little bit about what that process is? What is it about? Why is wheat makes chametz and rice doesn't? There's something that wheat has, and I don't remember what it is. Something in the protein. There's something about the, I don't know. I can say whatever I want. Okay, there's something, check it out, but Google it later. There is something scientific that's playing out here, that wheat has a certain thing to it that creates a certain process when it's mixed with water, or the alcohol, mice, or whatever different things happen that doesn't happen when other kinds of things happen. So wheat, barley, oats, belt, and rye. Fine. So when the Torah says, L'sechel l'chametz, this is what it means. Chamesh b'nei dovin, yes, other things, no. Now, once we know that the chametz is defined by chameshes b'nei dovin, now we can begin to extrapolate to matzah. Why? Because we have a pasuk that says, L'sechel l'chametz, but rather what? Shivas yom tochel of matzahs. The Torah Shavuot explains to us, don't eat those kinds of foods if they became chametz, but those very kinds of foods that could have become chametz if they would have been left with water for too long, if you stop it and you bake it and you make it into matzah, that's the matzah mur b'torah. So in order to qualify as matzah, it has to be one of those things that could become chametz. So this is the source. It's a combination of the research done in the laboratory, that only these chametz b'nei dovin meet those criteria of chametz. Now we turn that around and say, well, therefore, these are the only things that are good enough for matzah. Once we know, once we've identified that matzah, the mitzvah d'oraisa, the chilas matzah, is limited to the chamesh b'nei dovin, now we can begin to extrapolate to other mitzvahs as well. Why? Because we have the word, the magic word, lechem. Well, matzah is called lechem, lechem oni. So comes the Teshuva Pen, as the Gemara elaborates in Maseches Menachos, and Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu that just as matzah, since it's compared to chametz, has to be chamesh b'nei dovin, any and every time the Torah speaks about lechem, lechem presupposes that there's chameshes b'nei dovin there. That's not the only criteria. It has to be water, it has to be baked, and going to some time in an oven. There are other things that go into making your bread, but chameshes b'nei dovin is chaytel yavah. That's not negotiable. If it ain't chameshes b'nei dovin, there's nothing to talk about. So therefore, all other areas of halacha where the Torah singles out lechem are limited to chameshes b'nei dovin. Now, what are the other areas where the Torah speaks about lechem? Going back to that list from before, farshas challah, toyer b'chochem yulechem ha'aretz. When it comes to chadash, the Torah says the lechem v'kolei v'charmel. Even though you can violate chadash, even if what you're eating is not lechem, you have a bowl of cereal. That's chadash. That's also a violation of chadash. But since the Torah does give as one of the examples of foods that are asa mitam chadash, the Torah says the lechem v'kolei v'charmel. No matter what you do to the grain, whether you toast it, whether you roast it, whether you bake it, whether you eat it, whatever shape or form you eat it in lokshin, you eat it in cereal, you eat it in bread, you eat it in cake. It's all called chadash, but since the Torah does highlight the word lechem, so that's halachah moshtim, that's part of the exam, shavu lechem lechem imatzah, and therefore chadash doesn't apply to rice, doesn't apply to corn, doesn't apply to any other grain, it only applies to the chamesh b'nei dovin. And similarly, presumably this is the reason why you only bench on lechem, because it says, eretz asher lo miskenus tochaba lechem, losechsa kavod, and up yachal b'sod v'rach, but the Torah speaks about eating and enjoying and satiating and making a bracha on the lechem that you just finished eating. So, bottom line is, everything started with chametz. Chametz taught the matzah, and from matzah we jump to all other areas of halacha. So the Torah is 100% right. There is a unique halachic status of chameshes b'nei dovin, and therefore one can argue that called the tikkun rabban in a sense gained the raisa tikkun. The same way that the Torah grants this super duper level of chashivos to the chameshes b'nei dovin, only these are good for matzah, and only these are ben tzad, and only these are chal, only these are chal, etc. So too, there's something special, some special halachic characteristic that these food items have, and therefore they override all the regular rules of eating with tofel. It doesn't matter whether you like it, you don't like it, whether you like the, whether there's more honey in there, less honey in there, you like the honey, you don't like the honey. Bottom line is, kol sheyesh b'chamesh b'nei dovin, b'varchan b'barmen b'zoinus. So that's the pashas that Dvarim says the Torah. But then the Torah goes one step further, says, Eidish Lenin. I'll give you another reason why the chameshes b'nei dovin are special. Is there any other almost category in halacha that highlights chameshes b'nei dovin? Not chadash, and not challah, and not matzah, not chametz, not brachas. Hilchos bikurim. Bikurim. Bikurim for the chameshes b'nei dovin. So there are only seven species of produce you bring bikurim from. Five of them are fruit, the two of them are great. It happened to be the Shiras Aminim. The Torah says you have to bring the Arzacha, you have to bring from your land. And the Torah says, Eretz Chitos Oira, so it comes to the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Allah Moshe tells us, Eretz L'Gzeir Shava, that you only bring Bikurim from the Shiva Samidim. Let's say, the Torah says, V'yok Yisrael L'Kach L'Rishas Priyadama. So I would have thought, oh, okay, great, no problem. I would have thought that you bring from anything. No. Min Adam of L'Ko Adam, Eretz Chatz, whole drash of the Mochar is, and the bottom line is, you only bring from Shiva Samidim. Sheshtach L'Bem Eretz Yisrael. Out of those Shiva Sabinim, only two of them are grain to talk about. So if you want to bring Bikurim from rice, you don't do that. You want to bring from corn, you don't do it. You want to bring it from, I don't know, from quinoa, it's not from the grain, you can't do it. The only thing you can bring Bikurim from the grain family would be Chito Soira. So what's the missing link here? The missing link here.
The other three meaning.
What happened to the other three guys? What happened to the Kusbin, the Shifal, the Shoshul, but what we conveniently call oat spelt and rye, something that we got it right. We spoke about this in the past, right? Whether we got it right or not. We hope we got it right. We're not 100% sure we got it right. We think we got it right. Rashi claims that we got it right. So where do those fit into the picture? Bishlam, according to the first version, the first answer to the Torah, what made the Chamesh Bnei Dagum unique is because Chadash applies to them and Chal applies to them and Matzah. So that's true about oats and rye, even though maybe you can't bring Shibas Amina from them, maybe you can't bring Bikur from them, but they're from the Chamesh Bnei Dagum. But according to the second version of the Torah, the second answer to the Torah, what gave uniqueness to the Chamesh Bnei Dagum, to the five species of grain, is because of Hilchos Bikurim, because of Hilchos Shibas Aminim. Wait a second, is that even true? That's only true about 40% of them. What about the other three out of the five? So this touches on a major topic that appears actually at the end of the second part of Maseches Pesachim. But the Gemara tells us that yes, there are Chameshes Min Adavim, you know, for our purposes we'll call them wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. But there are really only two main categories. The main two categories are Chit and Sora. The other three are subcategories there. In the family, they're cousins of the wheat and the barley. I forgot about what the breakdown is. I think oats is part of the wheat, and the other part of the barley. I forgot about what the Cheshbin is, the whole Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. So there's a major machlokes acharonim. What do those words mean when the Gemara says that the other ones are subcategories? Is that a botany statement? Is that an agricultural statement? Or that's a Hilchos Bikurim statement? Namely, the halachic term chita. Does chita mean wheat? Or does chita mean anything in the wheat family? You tell me that oats are in the wheat family, oats are considered to be part of chita. Going back to Danny's question. Danny wants to know, I want to come and bring a korban, mincha, and the Torah says you have to bring chita. There are only two karbanos minchas that you're allowed to bring seorim. What are they? The kasota and the korban omer. The only things that are brought from seorim. So everything else is chita. So I don't want to bring wheat. I'd rather bring a bowl of Cheerios. Okay, a bowl of Cheerios. I want to bring my oats, my spelt, my rye. Is that called bringing chita or not? So forget karbanos stuff. What bikurim? Does eretz chita? So boom, I want to bring my Cheerios as bikurim. Can I do that or not? That's a major machlokes acharonim. So here the acharonim say, yeah, it's chita. It's also chita. You know, it's a subcategory. It's a family of chita. That's good enough. I'll say in the mabdom. It's a subcategory. Maybe there are enough communities to be there. Maybe there's chal enough communities. Maybe there's kalayim enough communities. Maybe there are differences that are important to know whether it's the same category or not. But for hilchos bikurim, that's not the chita. We're the Torah. That's not shishtach. Eretz was not shishtach with oats. It was shishtach with wheat. And if that's the case, so then that would throw a serious problem into the Torah's second reason. Because the Torah is explaining, Maya and Manishtana, that the Chamesh is being dug in a soul different Ruchas Brachas. Ah, Zeltin from Shiva Sabinim. Sin Shiva Sabinim are different from all other fruits and all the Pralukhan and the things that grow. And Alokhan, they're the special ones of Eretz Israel. They're the ones of Bikurim. Therefore, Chamesh is being dug in a different Ruchas Brachas. That therefore only makes sense if the Torah siding with Elder Chiron was saying, yeah, the wheat and the barley are the main, but everything else is subsumed under those categories. If you hold like those Achorim would say, it's cute that they are, you know, botanically related, agricultural related, but halakhically they're not identical, then that second answer to the Torah is not going to fly. So the second answer to the Torah is controversial, but the first answer is partial. The first answer is obvious, that yes, there's no question that Chamesh and Adam are separate and distinct. Whether or not you can read Bikurim is negotiable, but for sure, Chadash, Chala, Bechzemazom, Chametz, Matzah, for sure are limited to these five. and therefore we have reason to believe that these five are unique and different, and therefore the bracha will be mezonos under all circumstances. So good, so we're good to go. So we gave a little bit of a long distal, we've got a little bit of a background about the significance and the uniqueness of Chamesh bin Hadagon. Bottom line is the Gemara says that the bracha is mezonos. So the Gemara tells us that you always make mezonos on Chamesh bin Hadagon. The Gemara almost told us that, because it said, Rabbi Yishuol Yom Tov, Kol Sheish B'Chamesh Taminim, Kol Hakol Mikol Kol, almost, except for the exception to the rule. So what is the exception to the rule? That's the Gemara a little bit later on. That's the Gemara on the Lamed Testament Aleph. The Gemara on the Lamed Testament Aleph, it's about two-thirds of the way down. First word line is Ta'amei. Just about two-thirds of the way down. Ta'amei is the first word. Amar Bashi. Ki avinu b'Rav Kahana, when I used to learn by Rav Kahana's yeshiva, Amalan, he used to tell us, Tavshila des silka, if you have this mixture of beets together with some grain, the lo mafshi b'kimcha. There wasn't that much flour in it. A little bit of flour there was, not too much. Then the bracha is bar pri adama, which is startling, right? We just finished saying that the more, no matter what there is, it's mezonos. The lifta, but if it's lefes, like some, it was addressed turnips, I'm not really sure that's exactly what it was, but the lifta, at least somebody knew what turnips was. Last week my wife sent me to the store to buy turnips, and I came home with beets. I knew what turnips looked like, I knew what beets looked like, but I was probably on the phone answering a shot in the middle, and they were next to each other, and I just picked up one, and of course didn't bother noticing. So she commented to me that they are different. I said, what's the difference? What's the difference? If you want beets, if you want borscht, you make two beets. If you want chickens, you put it. Okay. So the Gemara tells us that, yeah, the Gemara tells us that the lift of the mashrim of kimcha, tfei, boimim, zaynis. Abkhana said that when you have this leftist dish, a similar kind of a dish with turnips mixed in with flour, so there's more flour, then the bracha goes up, shoots up the boimim, zaynis. It's a very strange thing. Rav Kahana is talking volume. Rav Kahana is saying, if the ingredient, if the recipe says one little teaspoon, little dash of flour, nah, nothing. If it's a lot of flour, then you make mezonos. For Hadar Amar, and then he changed what he said. In later years, Rav Kahana changed what he said. Everything is Adama, which is even more startling. Everything should be mezonos. I'll tell you why, says Rav Kahana. The height is shadi b'kim chetvei. There's a little bit more flour that's put in. So I thought originally you make mezonos for that. Nah, the dvuke bi'alma avdila. The purpose of that flour is just to hold it together, to stick it together. If the whole thing doesn't fall apart in your hands. That's called the devik bi'alma. A devik bi'alma is not sufficiently significant. And therefore you go back in a sense to the regular rules being mitafel. The regular rules being that the person is clearly not interested in eating too much of the flour. He clearly wants to sell it for the lifta. And therefore the bracha in both cases will be appropriate. So in one fell swoop, the Gemara just took what it said earlier on and just qualified, put the brakes on it. When we were learning the sugya on the Flamed Vavam Beis, so we thought that Rabbi Shmuel said, kol, hakol, mikol, kol, lo pashur. Kol, almost, with the exception of the Devik B'Alma. Now, this is very relevant for us. Anyone who can filter fish recently? Filter fish has flour in it. Usually has matzah meal in it. Not much flour, but matzah meal comes from flour. Anyone make mezonos on the fish recently? Probably not. It used to be very common. They would put flour into the hamburgers. Now a lot of the places are very nervous too, because there's gluten and nice stuff with gluten-free allergies and everything. People are much more nervous about that. But there are a lot of foods that people throw flour in for all kinds of ledevik b'yalma, and nobody ever heard of making mezonos on it. That's right. That's what Rav Kahana told us. So Rav Kahana originally didn't hold that way, and then he backed out, and that's the maskana sadvarim. Whatever's the ledevik b'yalma, that's it. I was just reading, I was just the other day, I was reading about a story about something that took place in 1948 during the siege of Yerushalayim, you know, right before, at the very, very beginning, you know, of right before, you know, the state was declared, and in the very beginning, there was a terrible siege in Yerushalayim. So they were describing about how the food was being rationed so badly. So describing what Pesach was like in the old city in 1948, a couple of weeks before comes the Medina. So the Arabs had surrounded the whole of Yerushalayim, they couldn't get, as the famous, you know, famous mice with the Burma Road and trying to break through Latrun, all the famous stories in 1948. So they're describing about how what the Sedarim looked like in the old city in 1948. So they said that they were describing the gefilte fish that people were eating. So they said that there was no fish, but they had some flour. So they had like matzah meal, some other people to get through. So they said that the gefilte fish was matzah meal, and they put in some gefilte fish to keep the matzah meal together. That was the lashon that the book used. So when I read that, I said, oh, that's Mamsas Mikshir, but Benafichu. He says, what we do is we make gefilte fish, we throw some matzah meal to keep the gefilte fish together. So the bottom line is the Gemara says that Kol Sheyesh Mechalesh Miradava, you always make mezonos, almost always, not always. Once in a while you make shakal adam, whatever it is, if it's just a devik bi'alma. It's actually this din of a devik bi'alma that was once a big controversy. It's still a little bit of a question, but most folks I think have changed their sheet on this. This was the famous shayla with licorice years ago when licorice made it onto the kosher market. So there was a whole tumble about what's the bracha on licorice. The reason why there's a shayla is licorice is flour. It's basically a stick of flour with a lot of food coloring and flavoring and sugar and more sugar and then a little bit more sugar and then some more sugar. And that's pretty much what licorice is. So the shayla was, what bracha do you make on it? So do you make mezonos on it because it has flour in it? Or do you make shakal on it because the flour is insignificant? It's just the devil b'yamah. So the way the story goes is that Reb Moshe asked the shayla. And he called Rabbi Levi, Bernard Levi. Dovber Levi at the time was the original Rav Machsh of the OK, the father of the Rabbi Levi, who still runs the OK now. So apparently the information that was either told to Rabbi Levi, that was subsequently related to Rav Moshe, somewhere along the way, the message got through to Rav Moshe that the flour is very important, and people like the taste of the flour, and enhances the licorice. So when they told Rav Moshe that, Rav Moshe was good luck, great. So the bracha was like, Rav Moshe, you know, from licorice, if I never saw a piece of licorice, then definitely never ate licorice. He told him, it's all Zionist flour, so it's for Zionist. So then later, others realized that that's probably not true. So then there was apparently the Machlokes was the Paskus company, Yerim company, the whole of the companies were talking about. So Dvarim B'Talim, what do you mean? Who in the world knows this flour? Who cares this flour in there? So the only people who know this flour and licorice is if you don't sell Chametz Gomer and Pesach, you have to get rid of all your Twizzlers before Pesach. Because there's mamash Chametz Gomer, there's mamash flour in there. So many, many postmen said the Metzias is not right. Nobody's eating licorice for the flour. Nobody cared. The flour. The emes is why you eat licorice, because you like the red gook and you like all the sugar and all the flavor and everything. But you can't just give you a spoonful of sugar and flavoring. You have to put it to something. So you never have to take a stick of flour and dry it out and show it and have something to paste on. It's devik bi'alma. So therefore, probably the more correct bracha is shahakal on licorice. So even though in the old Torah Masorah, those who went to elementary school back in the 70s may remember that he used to say in the Torah Masorah bracha's booklets to make mezonos and licorice, but later Poskim pointed out probably not correct, probably the correct bracha shahakal. Anyway, getting back to that story. So we have a basic klal that mezonos, commission that one trumps almost everything. We gave two reasons of lumdus from the Torah why that should be so, either because of the uniqueness of Chmesh Meredav in terms of other areas of Deraisa, or the uniqueness of Shiva Saminim Deraisa, Chit, etc. And then we pointed out that even though the Gemara makes it almost sound like Lamed Vav, that's an absolute, but there is a little bit of an exception to the rule. Are there any other exceptions to the rule? Any other cases that would arise that maybe you wouldn't recite the Bracha Mezonos on it? So there is a tricky Gemara. We've learned this Gemara before in a little bit of a different context. Andaf Lamed Chesav at Aleph. Let's take a look at the Gemara. It's right smack in the middle of the page. The first one is Bimul Sayhu. So just about halfway down Lamed Chesav at Aleph towards the end of the line, Shasisa. So the Gemara is talking about Shasisa. What in the world is Shasisa? So Rashi tells us it's Maichala Ose Mikemach Kaloyos, Genis Yavshu B'Tanur, B'Osha Shibot Lachim. You basically took grains and you before they were processed, really, you threw them into the oven, you dry them out, you make some kind of a popcorn out of it or something, then you mix it with some water, and you consume it. So Gemara says, what's the bro? It's a Rav Amashakon Yitibaro, Ushmol Abram Nemizonis. So Rav Ushmol having a machloikis when the bracha shahachol, because of the water and other things that are in it, or do you make mizonis on it? So what's the shailam? Amra Chizda, V'loi Pligi, Chizda, it's not really machloikis. Haba Ava Haba Rakwa, they're talking about two different kinds of shasisas. Is it a thick, pasty shasisa, or is it a very, very thick, pourry, battery kind of shasisa? So what's the difference? Why does that make a difference? The Gemara continues. Ava Le'achila Abdullah. If it's Ava, so then the goal of Ava is to eat. Rakal Refuk Abdullah. where if it's a very, very, very liquidy kind of a thing, then it's for a fua, and the offer everything changes. At can the Gemara. So the correct bracha on shasisa depends on the thickness or the thinness of the shasisa. It has something to do with eating and refuah. Sisrei Taira. What's the Gemara talking about? If it has mezonos in it, it should be mezonos. End the discussion. What am I asking me now? Does anyone remember when we spoke about this Gemara? A couple of months ago already. We spoke about the bracha medicines. We mentioned that if medicine has a no taste or a bad taste, you don't make a bracha on it. But if it has a good taste, then you do make a bracha on it. But there was a big machlokes in Rishonim. When we say that you make a bracha on medicine, does that mean you make the right bracha? Or does it mean you make a generic bracha of shahakal? Now shahakal, akulam b'rech shahakal yotzim. Mishnah says later on, if you make shahakal on a piece of chal, you're also yotzim. Make shahakal on a cup of wine, you don't say anything with shahakal. So according to some Rishonim, the Gemara is saying, that yes, for medicines you have to make a bracha. You can't get away with good tasting medicine not making a bracha. But even though, let's say you're taking a good tasting fruit as for medicinal, you prepare it in a medicinal manner, so according to some Rishonim, make shahakal on it. Take a good tasting vegetable, you turn it into a medicine, you make shahakal on it. Why? Medicine is not regular achila, and therefore it doesn't get that special maila, that special uniqueness of a special singular bracha. It just gets the generic bracha shahakal. That's how some Rishonim read this Gemara. And other Rishonim read the Gemara totally different. Other Rishonim say, there's no such klal. Medicine gets a bracha, it's whatever bracha gets. Why is this different? Either Gemara says it's for medicine. So it's close to them, similar to them. What some Rishonim say is, when the Gemara says that it's for medicine, the Gemara is not giving you the reason why the bracha goes down to shahakal. What is the Gemara telling you?
The reason why it's thin.
It means why is somebody make it thin? Like what mishulim would make it thin? It doesn't taste as well when it's thin. So people do it that way because they have some kind of medicine or whatever it means, some quality of medicine, whatever that means. But why do you make shahakal? So some of the Rishonim say the Gemara never explains why you make shahakal. So we have to figure out on our own. Why do you think you make shahakal? So it comes tight into the table, make shahakal, because it's not a what? If it's so thin, it's so watery, it's so battery, it's a drink. It's not a food. And drinks are always shahakal, with that very, very unique exception of grape juice wine. Let's take a yard to make off. Drinks are shahakal. End of discussion. So that's a major machlokes in Rishonim. Everyone agrees that the thin battery consistency of shasisa gets shahakal. Quite the hefer Rishonim, the reason is because of the why you're drinking it, why you're eating it, because of medicine. And medicines always get shahakal. And according to the other hefer Rishonim, the medicine part of the Gemara was just justifying why the Meshuggah was doing it. It's not a Meshuggah, but in terms of the halachic rationale, because it's a drink. So actually, Tosfos and Nafla B'chetzem and Aleph takes that second approach. That it's the drink aspect. Tosfos says, if you take a look to the bottom of Lama Chesem and Aleph, the imkain, it's about six lines from the bottom of the Tosfos. The bottom Tosfos of Lama Chesem and Aleph. Towards the end of the line, imkain, kol dover sheyesh bo bechameishas aminin. Let's not forget, the shtisa is grain. Ve'enu osi lisoi, it's not there for seuda, ki im lishtos. Kigon, catch this. Sheikhar, beer. Vechayetze ba mivrach shahakol. Beer vechayetze ba. Schnapps. Anything that had, it's rooted in grain. And based, it's got other things in it, other flavors, it's got water, whatever else goes into beer, I don't know. But it's got barley in there, so it should have been mezoinus. Says Tosfos, nope, not mezoinus, because it's not osay. Lisod is nasa lishtos, and that's the source of the sugi about shasisa raka. Other Rishonim said, lo hayu dvarim, I've never heard of such a thing. I don't know, maybe we should make mezonos and beer, I'm not sure. Now, we're not going to find any Gemara that talks about making mezonos and beer. You know why? We've mentioned this in the past.
Date beer.
Right. Because the beer in the Gemara was not barley beer. The beer in the Gemara was date beer, primarily the fruit kind of beers. Gemara talks about different kinds of beer in the Masechta Avodah Zarah to such an extent that the Gemara says the seventh breath of Avodah Zarah, Chazal made a gezeira not to drink sheikha akum, not to drink goyish beer. But unlike the gezeira of Sam Yenam, which was across the board, Isra and the Cheftza, the Isra of drinking sheikha akum was a very, very limited gezeira. It was only made in the base of akum. Namely, you shouldn't go to a goy's house and sit down and and have a Budweiser. That kind of beer, people still drink that, okay? Yeah, you shouldn't, Heineken, whatever beer, you shouldn't sit down and have a beer with a guy in his house. That's a gezeira atuchastos. That's just a little bit too close for comfort. But if you bring the beer to your house, bring it to a Jewish institution, you go to the store and you buy beer and you bring it to your house. So again, I'm not commenting whether you should or should not be doing that, but in terms of Hilchos Shteich Racham, that's not called Shteich Racham. So it's a very, very Chaldic version of chasnos. But there was an issur de rabbanan on drinking beer in a goyish kind of a setting.
Can the goy be in your house when you drink?
Yeah. As long as it's in your place, that's okay. So the post can discuss this. What's called your house? What if I'm in a place, but I rented a very, very small portion of the goy's house, and right now, for the next 3 hours, it's my house. Give me an example of that.
What?
Noam's a tzaddik. He's thinking about you guys are tzaddik.
Hotel room.
Hotel room's really, I mean, that's a real rental. I'm saying it was a joke. I'm at a ball game. So, Yankee Stadium is owned by who? Who owns Yankee Stadium? What?
Sterling.
He's still around. But he bumped it for us now, but he's still there. Okay, whoever owns it. So here who owns the garden? I don't know who owns the garden. No, who owns that? Whatever. Somebody owns, so I come, and I want to drink beer in my seat at the stadium. So you could argue that if I would drink it in the stadium, in the goy's house, that would be a gezeira al tzmishtos. But if I'm taking it I went to the stand, and I bought it, and I'm drinking it in my seat, so maybe one can argue l'hokel. Again, you're only going to hear this from me in a Lomdash Yimash on Tuesday night. You know, they're not going up. Maybe it's not going up on Wang Torah. People are going to think, oh, this must be Purim Torah. Okay. So the Ramah quotes on Mordechai, Gevald Gakul. The Ramah quotes on Mordechai that says that this Gezeira of Sheikh Racham, we're not Mechuv to make new Gezeiras. All the Gezeiras were made already done. Ravina Ravashi, they were the last ones to make Gezeiras in Klal Yisrael. In their days, they made a gezeira only on things that existed in their days. They made a gezeira on Sheikhar that they knew of. Date beer. They never saw a Budweiser. They never saw a barley beer. That's not beer. That's not Sheikhar. Ha'amar b'gemara. It's like in Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan writes that he talks about, I don't remember, he doesn't talk about plastic per se, but other kinds of materials. And Hilchos Tefillos Kelim. So the Gemara says, Midir Rabbanan, you have to toivel glass because it has certain properties similar to metal. So those properties happen to exist for plastic also. So some folks said, oh, you have to toivel plastic also. And everybody else said, no. The Beis Din that sat and made a gezeira that you have made it to Kodesh Chol, you have to toivel glass, they didn't make the gezeira, you have to toivel plastic. Why? Because they never saw plastic, never heard of plastic. Lu Yitzuya, they would have seen plastic, they would have made the gezeira, maybe. Because all the reasons are the same. But Eimon Chadash gezeiras, our job is not to make new gezeiras. So the Mordechai has this Kabbalat Gechidish from the quotes, the Halachot. Yeah, some rely on this, some don't rely on this. Another time, another place. Getting back to this story. So in the Gemara, you can't tell what bracha to make in beer, and barley beer, because it probably wasn't such a common drink in those days. But the Balei Tosis drank it all the time. The Balei Tosis, right? In the Middle Ages, everybody drank alcoholic things. People tended not to drink the water. If you drank water, you usually didn't survive. Because the water was all poison. It was all full of garbage. So the alcohol would kill whatever. The wine, it was safer, it was healthier to drink wine and beer than it was to drink the water in the Middle Ages. So the bottom line is, Tosis says that if it's a drink, then it's never going to be mezonos. No matter what it's got in there. For those who like the cooking and creams milkshake or something, so that would be a good cooler. Shachel, doesn't matter. It's a drink. If you're drinking through a straw, it's a drink, it's not a drink. But getting back to that story. So we may, at least according to Tosfos, have discovered another exception to the general rule of kosher and eshvah chamesh nedarim. So on the one hand, Lavavav Beis, the Gemara makes a very sweeping statement that if it's got flour in there, it's got grain in there, it's mezonos, don't ask any questions, even though it's not all that much. Comes the Gemara, chisels away enough Lamed Tes and says, well, it's definitely Yamino. Comes Tosfos based on Shasis as well, if it's a drink, then no. Can we cope with anything more? Can we cope with some more Hagdara, some more things that may limit the Bracha Mezonos? So Rav Moshe has another Chiddush. Rav Moshe said that, what if you have a food It has flour on it. And the flour is not just the Devek B'Alma. The flour is giving off taste. It's there. People like the flour part. But you just look at this food and you say, what's the ego? What's the trouble? Come on. Who are you kidding? It is clear as day what's the main part of this food and what's not. How do you know? What factors do you determine whether it's ego or not? So the question is very simple. What if you would break this food into a different components? Would somebody eat part A? Would somebody eat part B? If somebody would eat part A alone, so that shows this is the mainstay of the food. Somebody would think you're out of your mind for eating part B alone. So that shows that it's only its goal is just to enhance part A. Even though, Zakhtar Moshe, it's a quote-unquote mezonah stick of food, even though it's a flour food, and flour generally wins in terms of the Ritoffel battle, but we already have sources in Chazal, we have Rishonim already, we're saying that, well, that rule is not as absolute as it's not kol, hakol, mikol, kol, sheyesh, b'chamesh, zin, adogon. There are very real exceptions to that rule. But Moshe said, if we can assess that it's just so obvious that this is just not the ego, it just can't be the ego, proof positive, because you would never eat the flour part on its own, that's enough to tilt the balance as well, and the bracha would no longer be mezonos. What's a good nafka? Mean, what's a good practical example? We know what's a good food. Schnitzel was the example. That's what Moshe's case, schnitzel. Anybody who's ever watched their wife make schnitzel knows. So you got a piece of chicken in there, there's flour in there, there are other things, there's eggs in there, oil, all kind of stuff in there. And there's no question that the flour is adding taste to it. There's no question about it. So people like it. It has a good taste. On the other hand, imagine if you would divide and conquer. You cut the schnitzel apart and you'd say, listen, you're going to get the chickeny part of the schnitzel and you're going to get the breadcrumb gook on top by itself without any chicken connected to it. I mean, beinenu. It's obvious which is the ego, which is the tofu. It's obvious for anyone over the age of 10, which is ego, which is the tofu. So says Rav Moshe, that trumps everything. That trumps even mezonos, that otherwise trumps ego tofel. That's the hakol mikol kol. That's the most important klal. If at the end of the day, it's so clear to obvious to the eyes that one is ego, one's a tofel, and the greatest proof is you would never eat part of it by itself, that even though it's mezonos, it's not mezonos. And the bracha goes down to shakol. So one of the contemporary sfarim of his brachas wanted to argue according to Rav Moshe. They wanted to extend this Rav Moshe to a potato kiddush. You make hadom on a potato kiddush, because nobody would ever eat the kiddush part separate. And this one I beg to differ. I said, I don't think that the crust of a kiddush is the same as the coating of a schnitzel. Who agrees with me on that? Everyone tell to that. I think it's a big difference, right? I think,
is it supposed to be subjective or objective?
I think that you just gotta, you know, we'll show.
In terms of what the halacha would be.
The halacha probably follows the oil and probably follows the oil. A quick show of hands. Who here thinks that the kiddush is not the same as the schnitzel? I think it's not the same also. I have to disagree.
Then you
disagree.
Can also, the word you add, you could say deli roll, so that the deli is, you know, that you can keep
on. That's a tricky one. Would you eat the deli roll part separate?
The ikur is really the deli.
You know? Yeah, no, but I got that. But guess what? The speed, the honey is also the ikur.
Right.
But after we came, so you tell me about deli roll.
I mean, I like both, but if I had a choice, I would eat the meat.
No. I didn't say you had a choice. I said, would you sit down and eat the crunchy part?
Sure.
It's the cake. I mean, it's a cake dough, basically, right? Yeah. The only shal I have in deli roll is not whether you make mezonos or something else. It's mezonos or what? I'm not sure you don't make a motzi in deli roll. I'm not even 100% sure you don't make a motzi in deli roll. Unclear. But it depends on different. It depends on your definition of pizzas and possible kistens and kriyasudas and kinoa, that kind of stuff. But another time, another place.
We don't say that about like an ice cream cake that has crunch on it. You don't say that it's... People would eat the crunch alone, but we still don't see the problems.
So would they?
No, I'm saying the stomach, they do. People, when it falls
they
off.
They sell the cups on it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. People make a shahakal
on it. I don't know. You have to make two brachas in there. I'm not sure. I have an interesting shahakal, I'll tell you. Even though schnitzel, I'm really convinced that the bracha schnitzel is shahakal, except for one kind of schnitzel.
Pretzel.
Pretzel schnitzel. I'm very weary about the pretzel schnitzel. Because how can you say, I would never ever sit down to have a bag of pretzels in a million years. Really, pretzels.
And you can still see that they're pretzels.
Yeah.
Like, they still look like pretzels.
Yes, yeah, so I'm not so sure. But bracha, you said they have pretzel schnitzel. I'm not sure what the bracha is. I don't know. We may have to decide that before the Shabbos. Maybe we have some pretzel schnitzel at the kiddush. I'm not sure. But they're trying to see whether they're... Anyway, So, Rabbi, so getting back to that story. So the theme that we began to develop tonight is that, yes, on the one hand, we say, Kol sheyesh b'chamesh min dagon, yeah, that trumps everything. And then we saw, well, almost everything. Devik b'yalma, the rule breaks down. By drinks, according to Tosfos, at least the rule breaks down. By schnitzel, according to Moshe, the rule breaks down. Is there anything else out there that could potentially contribute to the rule breaking down? So there is a startling statement by one of the Gedolei Rishonim, by the Ra'oh. The Ra'oh was the Rebbe Muvik of the Ritva, the Talmud of the Ramban. For years, they thought he was the one who wrote the Sefer Chinuch, and then they realized that it probably wasn't even him altogether, but he was the supposed writer of the Sefer Chinuch. Whether he or somebody else wrote the Sefer Chinuch, he writes in the Hagdamah to the Sefer Chinuch why he wrote the Sefer, and I don't know why. It's always good for a parent to know this. He shouldn't feel chlish tadas. So he writes, one of the Gedolei Rishonim writes that the reason why he wrote the Sefer is because he noticed that his son and the son's friends on Shabbos afternoon were walking around doing nothing. They were spazzing around town, wasting time, battling around. So he was bothering him that they were doing nothing productive on Shabbos afternoon. So don't feel bad as a father. So he said he decided he's going to write a Sefer for the kids. And he's going to write a Sefer every week, so that way they'll have something to read. Sefer Breshit is tough because they don't have too much Sefer Chinuch, but once you get the Breshit, you're good to go. So every week they'll have a little halachas, a little musar, a little machshavah, a little time and mitzvahs. So that was the goal of the Sefer Chinuch. He doesn't write whether he succeeded or not, whether the kids actually read it or whether they still were walking around the streets, but that was the reason. We have the Sefer Chinuch today because of a bunch of teenagers who couldn't find something productive to do in Shabbos afternoon. So don't feel the problems haven't changed much over the years. So comes the Ra'ah, and he has a tremendous chiddush. Such a chiddush that did not make it into the classic poskim, at least not in the form that Ra'ah had it. And he says, "B'med devar mamurim, that you make a mezonos on a dish that has some flour in it, that's only if the ratio of the flour to the other foods is a certain quantity. If you dip beneath that quantity, then all bets are off, and then you go back to the regular rules of ikra tofel, shahakom, hadoma, eitz, whatever the other ikra is. What is the magic ratio? What's the number? Whether Ra'ah is going to make up a number. If it's 3/5, if it's 1/5, there has to be some kind of a halachic ratio. Shishma. And that's not a bad one, but that's not the one that he picks. So comes the Ra'ah and he says that, going back to our old story called the Tikkun Rabbanan, the Raisa Tikkun, the same way that we used other areas of halacha as barometers to measure the significance of mezonos, in a sense, to highlight the significance, put up on a pedestal flower. We look and we search to other areas of halacha to teach us what is an important ratio. And there is one very, very important halachic ratio called kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. Kezayis b'chdei pras means that you have a volume of an olive, a kezayis amount of food, spread out in a food, mixed up into a food with many, many other things. If you would start to eat the entire dish, you'd eat the whole bowl of chilant, you would consume a kezayis of flour before you reach the point of eating a kedechos pras of the entire food. Kedechos pras is the amount of either, it's a rishonim, how many eggs it is exactly, 3 eggs, 4 eggs, whatever it is, it's some kind of a ratio. We always talk about it in terms of minutes. Because kedechos pras is an important shear in terms of tzirufi achilas, yom kippur, matz, etc. So they give approximately 5 minutes or so. Some say as little as 2 minutes, some say as much as 9 minutes. We'll go at approximately 5 minutes. If there's X amount of flour in there and you would sit down and eat at a normal pace, you would consume a kezayis before you reach the point kedechos pras, within 5 minutes, within X amount of a total volume of food. That's a significant shear. That's an important enough amount of flour. And then and only then you make mezonos. But if it dips beneath that ratio, to get you to eat a kezayis, you'd have to eat 3 prases, that's too little, and therefore the bracha is not elevated to mezonos.
You say that that's the basis for Rav Moshe? In other words, if you don't have that, then you don't have, you're back to it, lack of bikkurim.
Right, okay, so the emphasis, so this Ra'ah, we don't pass in Ra'ah. Rav Moshe was not basing himself on this. Rav Moshe was giving different criteria. He was giving almost not halakhic criteria. If you notice, Rav Moshe, he didn't quote a halachic source, he quoted just it's obvious, Seichel Yosha dictates that way. The Ra'ah is working in a very, very objective halachic category called Kedechos Pras. Where did the Ra'ah get this category from? What is this number? What's this magic number, Kedechos Pras? Kedechos Pras? So the emphasis is that Kedechos Pras really has a double meaning in halacha. It has a meaning in terms of, not in Hilchos Tarovasim, Nothing's mixed up. I just have some raw, just plain one food item on the table. And it happens to be a kezias. And I choose to eat that kezias within X amount of minutes. So that's a very, very important shiur. What's the source of that shiur? That's halacha l'shem sinai shiur. That is the basic Torah definition of achila. There are two components of the Torah Shabbat Peh of definition of achila. The Torah says in many, many places, the erev teich l'matzos. V'yochlas ha-bosa korban pesach b'lai lozeh. The Torah says, not to eat chometz, not to eat chela, not to eat da, not to eat chazer. The Torah speaks about achila. So what's called achila? So we have a rule. Shiur in halacha l'shem sinai. All the dinim of kezaisim and kebetzas and ten tvachim and three tvachim. All the dinim of shiur in halacha l'shem sinai. So this is a dual shiur. The shiur of the Torah Shabbat Peh, the definition of achila in kol Torah kol is, a volume of a kezaisim, within the amount of time it would take you to eat kedechlis pras, which would translate to be approximately 5 minutes. That's why when you sit down to eat matzah at the Seder, you have to make sure you eat kezaias. The guy takes a half a bite of matzah now, then he sings a song, and he tells over another shikol Torah from that God, and then eats another bite 10 minutes later. He's not yotze. Because he didn't do be'er after the matzah, it's the fine, but in Torah Shabbat Peh, not a kezaias, the chilas pras. So that din of kezaias, the chilas pras, it's not going to impact Tichus Brachas, because in Tichus Brachas, we're not talking about one food, we're talking about a mixture of food. We're talking about, I got a lot of flour mixed in with honey, with dates, with maisel, with other, with meat, with all kinds of stuff in the cholins. So that's a different Tichus Brachas. So that's a secondary din that the Gemara speaks about. And at least the way many Rishonim read the Gemara, the Rambam included, that the Shir Kezayis Tichus Brachas applies to Tichus Taroikas also. When you have a mixture, let's say I have a mixture of treifas, I have a little bit of chazir, but mixed in with a lot of other things. So the Rambam says, if you have so much chazir in there that you could actually, you would start to eat this food, you would bump into the kezayis before you reach the echelos pras. So you have a significant amount of chazir in there, even though you have other things in there also, you have a significant amount of chazir that you have kezayis with the echelos pras. So the Rambam says, if you then go ahead and eat that mixture, that's a nisidir aisa. But if you have less than a kezayis techilas pras, even though you maybe have to taste some of the meat, you have a piece of chazer in there, and it's discernible, the taste is discernible, the Rambam says, but if you're lacking that shiur of kezayis techilas pras, that's only nisidir abanan. We spoke about this in the past. The big machlokes we showed him, whether the principle of tam ki ikur is der aisa or not. The Mishnah says in Chulin, in the seventh parak, that let's say a little treifas falls into a pot of food, if I take it out, but I still could taste the treifas, I'm not allowed to eat the remaining food. That's a Mishnah. That harezeh v'nesh in tam. It's also to eat it. So there's a big machlokes, the Gemara, the Rishon, the Halacha. Is that a Mishnah der aisa? Is that a Mishnah der abanan? So Rabbi Tam held that if there's any degree of taste, it's also in the Torah. Rabbi Rishon said, nah. So you can taste it, so what? If it's not there physically, you can't see it, and it tastes like chaz, it doesn't matter in the Torah. So Rashi holds tam kikus der abanan, but Tam holds tam kikus der aisa. And the Rambam holds a split. Famous sheet of the Rambam is, sometimes tam kikus der aisa, and sometimes it's der abanan. If there's so much food that's giving such a heightened degree of tam, that it's already reached the ratio of kezayis techilas pras, that's a der aisa. But if it's so little, even though it's discernible, you can taste it. I taste the chaz, 100% taste it, but it's less than kezayis techilas pras, it's not going to be der aisa, only der abanan. So that shiur of kezayis techilas pras is a der aisa, a shiur according to many opinions, not just the Rambam, many opinions, there is such a shiur der aisa. So came along there and said, once again, called the tikkun rabbanan kei der aisa tikkun. Chazal made a takona that when you have mezonos in there, mezonos is very important. Why is mezonos important? As the Torah told us, called the tikkun rabbanan kei der aisa tikkun. It's important because of hilchas chal, chodesh, matzah, chametz, and birchas hamazon. Or it's important for reason number two, because hilchas bikurim, shivas aminu, etc. So, flour is very, very important. But, it's not the end all, says the Ra'ah. It's an important factor, and it can trump other things, but we have to look at the shiur of significance through the eyes of kol Torah kula, says the Ra'ah. And if it meets that criteria of kezayis techilas pras, so then we're willing to call it the equal, even if it's not the majority. Kezayis techilas pras is nowhere near the majority. It's not necessarily your main kavanah eating it, but it's not ledevik, it's not a shtia, it's not a little crust on top of schnitzel, so it doesn't have any of the other reasons to knock it down, says the Ra'ah. If it has that halachic objective shia of kezayis techilas pras, then you're good to go, then you make results. But if it doesn't, says there are that we cannot say with a straight face to make mezuzahs. Then it just falls back to being an insignificant ingredient, and the bracha shoot down to shahachol or whatever the other rules of ikur would be. So chiddush gadol from the ra'ah. La halacha we don't pass like this. We pass it. It's very nice in your day. It's very important. It's kashrus in the Rambam Chachos Asuras. You have Reb Chaim's Seishal Toshim title tomorrow about the shiur of Kazakh Techlas Pras. It's halacha moshem zina. That's all true. It's true, but irrelevant to Luchas Brachas. It does not impact the brachas, and therefore, if you have a little bit of mezuzahs in something, even though it's less than the shiur of Kazakh Techlas Pras, as long as it's not drinkable, as long as it's not ledeven, as long as it's not completely insignificant to Ramayisha. And the bracha remains, as Rabbi Shmuel say, kol shiyesh b'chamesh b'edav. So we, l'halacha, don't accept this ra'ah at all. Almost not at all. What do I mean by that, almost not at all? We don't accept it in one part of his brachas, but we do accept a similar theory in another part of his brachas. What do I mean by that?
Bracha chrona.
Bracha chrona becomes very important. In Uchas bracha chrona, this becomes critical, because this is ultimately going to determine whether you recite a bracha charon on something or not. And we've already seen a little bit that just because you make a bracha rishona of a certain type and something doesn't automatically indicate you make similar pattern bracha charon. So in theory, one can make mezonos on something and not necessarily make it alamichia. So hopefully we have a work cut out for us to try to figure out whether we who reject the ra'os criterion, do we at least bring it back to life in terms of Chos Bracha Chorona? So I have to apologize that I told everyone to bring the Mishnah Berurah. The next thing we're going to talk about was supposed to be the Mishnah Berurah, so I'll have to bring the Mishnah Berurah for next week. Okay, so with Shem, we'll pick up with this last thing.